cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away.
So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just,
and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
So that's what you just read there is going to happen and is happening now. So we want to consider this morning what believers should expect in this present age while God is trawling. Now you probably didn't know that, but you've already learned something this morning. God is a trawler. Sometimes you see the up by Tidewater Community College where the driving range is. You can just look out right on the bay. You could see it right from the skill range there. You can watch them trawling. And here goes a boat, and he's got his nets, and he is trawling. Well, God is trawling. That's what this passage says. And this book that you have open is called Matthew. Matthew is the book of the King of the Jews. It's probably a book of more than that, but it's not less than the book of the King of the Jews. Matthew 2:2, the Gentiles come and ask Herod, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And Matthew 25:34, Jesus himself, I think it's the only place where he actually calls himself the king. He said, then shall the king say. And he's the king. And that's one we should look at. We'll come to Matthew 13 in just a minute. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 27. This is worth look at this quite well. God is not done with the Jews. I want to assure you that. Their most active days as a nation are ahead of them, and maybe soon. So look at chapter 27 and verse 37. And Daniel, if you could please read that one.
And they put up over his head the accusation written against him. This is the King of the Jews.
Okay, you missed a word there. This is. Read that again. This is.
This is Jesus, King of the Jews.
This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. That Jesus is God, the Son, and man. And the Jews, and he is a Jew. Born of a woman under the law. And there he is. Murdered in public. Look at that well. King of the Jews. And the reason, the foremost reason that people reject him is found in Luke 19:14. I'll read it for you for time's sake. And it is this. We will not have this man to reign over us. This little DVD that we have on almost every morning, every Sunday morning, begins saying the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen being what? Understood by the things that are made. They understand. People know there is a God. Verse 19 of Luke says, it is not a problem of evidence. It is not a problem of God hiding from them. It is this. We will not have this man to rule over us. That, dear people, that is why people die lost. Now, there's something we can do about this. Back in Matthew 13. Matthew tells us what we can expect in this present age if we follow and serve the rejected king. Well, the verse you read, Daniel, shows he is the rejected king. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. That was written in three languages. Hebrew, the religious language. Latin, the legal language. and Greek, the cultural language. That's an entire rejection. The distinct religion, the culture, the law, all of them. He doesn't fit. Well, in other words, he's the rejected king. So, if you're following him, you're following a rejected king. And you should know what to expect. What can you expect? Okay, look at number one. We'll come to that. We'll look these up more. You can expect to be a sower of God's word in people's lives. So Jesus was a sower, and you're going to be a sower. I'll say more about that in just a little bit. Verses 3 to 12 talks about the parable of the sower. You're familiar with that. You can expect to be a sower. You can expect mixed responses to the sowing of God's word. In Matthew 13, verses 24 to 26, and verse 36. So, Joy, how about if you read Matthew 13, verse 24 to 26. And Phil, if you could, if you would, your voice is up to it, could you read, please, verse 36? Okay, read those.
Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also.
And then 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field.
That parable of the tares of the field, they said, tell us that one. Explain that to us. So look at verse 37. He said, I'll explain it to you. It's about a mixed response of the sowing of God's word, which we see today. A mixed response. So he said, you asked me about the parable of the tares of the field. Okay, here it is. Verse 37, he answered, said unto them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Christ, at least then. And we have good seed, a good, you can see, a good seed. That's the word of God, the gospel. The truth of the kingdom, past, present, future. And the sower is the Son of Man. So you have good seed. You have good sower. Good sower, good seed. But you have a mixed crop. Look at verse 38. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age and the reapers are the angels. Yeah, wow. How about that for an explanation? You can expect, as you follow the rejected king and sow God's word by giving to missions, by giving out tracts, by speaking to people, as you have opportunity, you can expect, don't you see, a mixed response. Wheat and tares. Okay, look at number three. You can expect different degrees of fruitfulness, even in the good ground. There's one, look at verse 23. He who received the word on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. In other words, you can expect different degrees of fruitfulness in the good ground, receptive hearts. Okay, look at number four, please. You can expect people to be dull of hearing and blind about things that matter most. And we're back over here to, could you read that one, please, Charles? Matthew 13 and verse 15. And here we're reading about people blind, dull of hearing, about things that matter the most.
For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them.
You can see there then that he's describing people who are dull of hearing and blind, And it'd be one thing if it was about who's going to win the Super Bowl, which means nothing. And it would be another thing about what's going to happen in the stock market next month, which is something, but not much. And so on like that. These are inconsequential matters, comparatively. But what he's talking about here are people blind and dull about things that matter the most. You have a heart today, a physical piece of flesh about the size of your fist that's going to beat 100,000 times if you live out the day. We're all hoping to live out the day. Somebody made that. That did not make itself. You have a face-to-face meeting with the person who made it. That matters. The Super Bowl does not matter. It just doesn't. A thousand other things are comparatively meaningless. However, look at your handout. I can honestly say this troubles me. I mean, it grips me, maybe, that people are dull of hearing and blind about things that matter the most. And this could be illustrated in many ways from the chapter. The dragnet is perhaps the most sobering. So the end, we want to come now to verses 47 to 50. When I told you at the beginning that I hope you learned this today, that God is a trawler. Yes, he is. He's a trawler. And he's trawling today. And he will be tomorrow. And the next day. So, this is and he's describing the kingdom, and he calls it, my New King James, verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. You have a footnote on your handout there. A trawl or a dragnet is a large tapered fishing net which has floats at the top, awaits at the bottom. It's towed along through the water, reaching up from the surface, floats to keep it on the top, and then waits to keep it stretched out. So it's like a stretched out net being pulled slowly through the water. That's called trawling. Not trolling with one hook. It's trawling, bringing the whole net and catching everything in its path. So it's towed along through the water, reaching from the surface to the floor of the sea, depending on how deep the water is. The net moves through the water, gathering nearly everything it comes into contact with. So look on your notes there. Three ways to fish under letter number four. The dragnet is the most sobering, at least in this passage. You, of course, can fish with a hook and line. We know one time that happened with Simon Peter. Then there's called net casting. Cast in your nets on the other side, he told them, where they just threw them in and pull them up. And then there is a dragnet or trawling. So a little more explanation there on the bottom of your first page. Trawl nets could be up to a half mile long. Trawl nets have floats at the top, weights at the bottom. One end of the net is attached to the shore. The other end is attached to a boat. This allows the net to sweep slowly through the water, collecting everything in its path. The dragnet moves quietly. It catches everything. The living, the dead, the desirable fish, and the repulsive fish. There are repulsive fish. Some of us have fished. Billy took us to fish under the James River Bridge, and we got some really good fish. And then they had some of the most ugly fish I've ever seen come up out of there. What were those things called? Does anybody remember? Do you remember? Those
toad
heads? Well, that's not flattering, and I mean, they're ugly fish. They're just ugly. They're hideous. Well, when you get the dragnet, everything comes in, and there would probably be dead fish in there floating. You know, just how it is. How life is under the sea, not as good as what's his name said it was. But anyway, it pulls in everything. Repulsive fish. Desirable fish pulls them all, good, bad, everything that's bad pulls it to shore, and then it's separated. He said the kingdom of heaven is like that. God does that. God does something very much like that. Today, the net is moving. Yes, it is. So let me try to explain. Look at the second page. What do we mean by trawling? Now, how does this work? Okay, let's think of just the illustration as you find it in the Bible. Here it says, verse 47, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet, a trawling. Okay, so what does that mean? This is what it means. So here's the net. It's attached to the shore and it's attached to the boat. The floats are on the top, so it goes all the way up to the top, and there's weights at the bottom. So you have a net up to a half mile out there. It goes all the way up to the top, and it may go all the way to the bottom. If not, it goes as far down as the net will go. And now it begins. Then we begin to sweep. I don't know if they row it or sail it, but they begin the sweep, and the net begins to move. Fish are not that intelligent creatures, probably. And when the net touches the back of a fish, the creature simply swims a little further ahead. It's not hooked. It just got bumped. So when you bump a fish, it just, what does a fish do? It moves along. So he swims a little farther ahead, enjoying what appears to be abundant freedom to live and move. Just so men and women move in this world, making adjustment here, another adjustment there, imagining they are free to keep living however they desire, coming and going, moving about as they please. Well, that's what people are doing this morning. There is such a thing as free will. It is free will limited to what's in their mind. Your will works downstream, you could say, from your mind. So your will can choose whatever's in your mind, and no more, except when you sleepwalk. Lance was a sleepwalker. Maybe some of you are sleepwalkers. But there is such a thing as free will. Look at the next paragraph. In a sense, they are free people, American people, our relatives, our neighbors. They are free to do just that, but only as free as their minds are. So I've said it this way. Can any of you speak Russian? You free to speak Russian? Well, theoretically, you're free to speak. There's no law against it, and it's linguistically possible. Okay, do it. Well, you don't know any Russian. There's no Russian in your mind, so you can't choose to make it come out of your mouth, can you? Okay, so if it's not in there, you don't... free will to choose to speak Russian is just theoretic nonsense. You can't speak Russian. It's not in there. Okay? So that people are free to make godly choices is hopelessly absurd. It's not in there. They're incapable. It's like me trying to speak fluent Russian. I think "nyet" is a Russian word. I think that means no. So, probably not how you pronounce it. But look at your handout. So people are free to do what they want today within their limited, it's a limited kind of circumscribed freedom. Kind of like a dog in a chain, a dog in a kettle. He's free to go anywhere he wants in the kennel. And no more. The kennel's locked, it's metal cage. He's free in there and nowhere else. Okay, look at the next. However, the dragnet of judgment is now moving through the waters. Quietly it moves. Unobservedly it moves. People do not know what's going on this morning. I know what's going on this morning. I'm going to tell you what's going on this morning. God is trawling. Look at your notes there. And it's quietly moving, and people say, well, this happened, so we need to adjust this. That happened, so we need to adjust that. And they're making their adjustments. They're comfortable. It's like the fish. He says, something bumped me. I got to move. Okay, you move. And he moves. And now he's not, and for a little while, he's not bumped anymore. For a little while. But as the net moves closer, he's got to move again. And then as the net moves closer still, he's got to move again. And then he begins to notice, say, there's a whole lot of creatures in this space. And there's less room to move. And then he finds he's out of his element. That he's a fish and he's on the shore where fish are not supposed to be. Fish belong in the water. And he says, I'm not in the water anymore. So your Bible, look if you would at verse 47. The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. In what sense? Look at your handout. Second paragraph. In other words, God is providentially overruling, ruling and overruling in the kingdoms of men today. How many of you believe that? Say amen. I want to assure you, he is. He's not missing anything. Now, the waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Revelation 17:15. Do you see that? Okay, Matthew, now look at Matthew 13:48-50 again. Which when it was full, they drew to shore, sat down, gathered the good. So here's a good fish into vessels, but threw away the bad. So will it be at the end of the age. Well, when you look at Revelation 17, do you see that on your notes there? Second paragraph, second page. That's at the end of the age. That's what happens at the end of the age. We may be really close there. We may not. And who's going to do the separating at the end of the age? Well, the angels will come forth. They make no mistakes. I make mistakes. I say, this one is saved, this one is lost. This one is lost, this one is saved. And I like to think I'm right most of the time. But I don't think I'm right all the time. I'm not sure any of us down here are right all the time. About me. He's saved, she's lost, he's saved, and so on. But the angels aren't going to make any mistakes. They're going to separate them. The separation, the dragnet is coming. The separation is coming. And notice what it says. I mean, this is it. How serious is this? Well, some people think that it really matters who wins the Super Bowl. Well, it doesn't matter who wins the Super Bowl. And the stock market matters more than the Super Bowl, I suppose, but not as much as this. Which one is full, gathered the good in vessels and the bad. So it be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into a furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That is what your Bible says. So, separation is coming. You can see that, right? I mean, that's clear. A separation of what was drug in. That's coming. Hell is coming for the bad fish. Wailing, gnashing of teeth, forever. Wanting different circumstances, yet unable even to want to repent. And glory is coming from the good. I thought you could... Glory has come for the good. The whole restoration of all things. Beautiful earth. So, notice in the next... Would you notice the next paragraph down, please? Today, the net is moving. God is trawling. That's what it says. That's what your Bible says. In the dispensation of the fullness of times that he might gather together in one all things according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. That's today. Ephesians 1, I didn't quote the whole thing, but Ephesians 1, 9-11. Okay, look at your Bible again. So, look at, please, at verse 51 and 52. And Joy, Daniel, could you read, please, Matthew 13:51? And Joy, if you could take, please, Matthew 13:52.
Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord."
Then said he unto them, "Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old."
Okay, so God is trolling. And, you know, you're to be following him, and I'm to be following him being fishers of men and sowers of seed. And let's just turn over momentarily to, I'll just read to you for time's sake. 1 Corinthians 9:22, the great fisher of men does not fish alone. You have a place in this. You have a place in the family business. God has a place for you. This is a prepared place for a prepared person. And he does not fish alone. And I'm not, I hope you know a little something about the stock market. And I hope if it's God's will for you to have enough money to invest, I hope you make some money in it. I don't say that thing is worthless. I think that you could use that for fishing. You know, just the interest of it, what's going on in the stock market. And it catches people's interest, especially if they got anything invested there. And then you can make money on the stock market. I'm living in a house that somehow my mother made a bunch of money in the stock market. When I left home to join the Navy, my mother was dirt poor. I mean, and she's an intelligent person. Somehow she learned how to invest money, and she made a barrel of money in the stock market. That's how, so that's why we live up there, and I haven't had a house payment for 20 years or so. Something like that. Bless the Lord for the stock market. I don't mean anything. It's, on the other hand, you understand that, don't you, that many people are simply, it's their life. They can't fish. They can't worship God either. They can't. It's impossible. The way they're constituted inwardly, they can't. Okay, look at verse. Listen to this, Matthew. 1 Corinthians 9:22. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Don't you think that's bold of him to say that? You know, if he's a strict Calvinist, wouldn't he say that different? Like God saves him? Well, I have my hats off to John Calvin in many things. But Paul said it right. You say, well, God is the Savior. You're right, God is the Savior. But look at that. There's nothing wrong with how he worded that. When Paul said, I save him, he's saying something that's true. Not something that's false or embellished. He's in partnership with the great fisher of men. And we know what he means. He doesn't mean I shed my blood for them as a propitiatory sacrifice. He obviously doesn't mean that. We're to be fishers and we're to be all in. And what matters most? That's what he's saying. That he is God's, he is united with Christ, and he is Christ's tool in this great ocean of human beings that is being pulled to shore this morning. There's less room this morning than there was yesterday. The net is moving. So look at number three there. The realities of the unseen world, especially the dragnet, shaped his decisions in this life. Pause on. We must not be dull drifters while the dragnet is closing. Wouldn't that be a disaster for people like ourselves to know? So this is what's going on in the world today? This is what's happening in Congress? This is what's happening in the United Nations? This is what's happening in Russia? This is what's happening in Communist China? That the dragnet is moving? This is what's happening in the Middle East? This is what's happening in Israel? That the dragnet is moving, this whole thing is coming to shore, and the great separation is closer and closer and closer. And these are the stakes? And how are we spending our time? And what really matters to us? Do any of you have a comment or question you'd like to make about any of this, what we looked at so far? Question or comment? The dragnet. You can see, can't you, that God is a trawler. His net is moving through the water, and people think, oh, I got to move. Well, they do got to move. Yep, they got to move. Machen should be out of a job. And I think he said June, he will no longer be employed as he has been employed for bunches of years. Bunches and bunches and bunches and bunches of years. He's got to move. I think the Machens are good fish, but they got to move. Looks like we may need to move, you could see. I'm not panicking about that. And this here is a building. This is a tool. This is part of a dragnet fishing gear that belongs to God. And I think these are good fish. Good fish move, bad fish move. The net's moving. Yes, it is. Good that you see it. Good that you understand that I'm going to the shore and I know I'm ready. I know I'm ready to land there. I'm not sure I'm ready for all the turbulence that it's going to happen when we get what Charles Well described, the voting compact, the national popular vote compact. So this is nothing else but an effort by these people that will be overruled by God to control. We're going to control you with or without your will. That's what's happening. That's exactly what that means. God sees it. And as we get closer and closer, people are going to say, I have less options. So you've got a lot of options now. That's part of the stimulus thing, in my opinion. It's okay. It's raining money. It's raining money at our house. Don't worry. We see you. It's raining money. It is raining money. It's the government is raining money down on the Nichols house. Raining it down. We're up to $4,700. They've rained down on us. And more's coming. They got another stimulus bill, don't they? This one's twice as big as the last one. It's raining money. Don't worry. Don't worry about anything. The cash is coming. Plenty of it. Don't worry. Let me just tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that God is a trawler. And the net's moving, and it's coming to shore. And you should be ready for the landing. The great separation. When people get there, see, also, let's just finish this real quickly. There's more we could say about this. Let's just notice facts concerning, regarding sowing the seed of God's word. So, I mean, God's word makes the difference, right? Amen. So, facts regarding sowing the seed of God's word. Number one, all believers should be sowers. A church is a seed-sowing agency. A preacher, that's myself, is a sower, but not just the preacher is a sower. That can't be right. That's just a terribly retarded body. Now, when you see a full-grown body with an infant's capacities, you say it's a tragedy. Poor things. 6 foot, 200 pounds, and he has no more capacities than a wee little tiny infant. There's nothing's developed. Well, that's a church where the preacher is the sower and no one else sows. That's a retarded body. We call that retarded. Sheep produce sheep. To all the saints belongs the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4:12. All believers should be sowers. Do we know that? Okay. Number two. To sow the seed well, we must possess the word, and the word must possess us. That's our message in the next hour. Fully persuaded finders. We're just going to look at these verses 44 to 46 in the next hour, hopefully. And it just describes fully persuaded finders. This is a sower who can sow well. He himself is fully persuaded. I see it. That this is the pearl of great price. This is the thing that matters most. This is where I'll focus. Fully persuaded finders are the best sowers. And it has to be that way to really sow well, to sow consistently. You've got to be fully persuaded yourself. Okay? Turn over, please, on the next page. There are various ways of hearing the Word of God without benefit. And let's turn to Ezekiel 33. And Gloria, we'll start over there with you if that's okay. If you could read Ezekiel when we get, we'll come to it in just a minute or two. Ezekiel 33 and verse 31 and 32. Okay, so let's notice several ways, various ways of hearing the word without benefit. Number one, the wayside. We find this in Matthew 13:4. He is careless, thoughtless, utterly indifferent. The word is taken from them almost as fast as the words come to their ears. They go as they came, as if they heard nothing. Those are the wayside hearers in Matthew 13, verse 4. Some fell by the wayside. Then there's the stony ground. And in Matthew 13, the stony ground is described as this. Matthew 13:5, some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up and they were scorched because they had no root, they withered away. In other words, there is a notice, a response in the mouth, in the mind of these people, some favorable feelings. There are no heart roots. The heart is not humbled or yielded. So what appeared to be a favorable reception withered away, as Jesus said. Many sermon hearers who seemed to gain some pleasure from public meetings will die lost, never having really met the Lord. That is stony ground. And I think we have a good example of this in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 33, verse 31, 32. Could you read that one, please, Gloria?
Yes. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they shall hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not.
That's a lot that could be said about that, but here is somebody. Here's Ezekiel. Wow, is this man loaded with the goods. And notice what they said. That should be scary. That should really be scary. Look at the thorny ground, verse 7. Here is favorable approval of the whole discourse. The thorny ground. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And the thorny ground, verse 22, he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word of God, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becomes unfaithful. Thorny ground. There's favorable approval of the whole discourse. The word is choked by a greater crop of cares, pleasures, and worldly plans. Here is a person who likes the gospel, would like to have the results of the gospel, yet lacks the will to put aside the cares, pleasures, and plans. He believes in that he knows the message is true. Like I told you at the beginning, when we have this DVD on each week, people know there's a God. He's not hiding. They know full well he's there. They know there's no such thing as a heart the size of your fist that beats 100,000 times a day with no designer. Folks, no one seriously believes that until they have rehearsed it to themselves and denied and denied and denied, and then finally they can't actually acquiesce. Yeah, they could probably pass a lie detector test finally after dismantling their conscience, like our fellows for some reason seem to dismantle the safety features on motors on their go-karts. They attack the safety features so they don't work anymore. Get more miles per hour out of the thing. It's amusing when they do it with a go-kart. It's not amusing when people do it with their conscience. I think they call it defeating the safety features. I find it very amusing as they defeat the safety features of the go-karts and other things like that. I find that amusing because I haven't had any serious damage yet. Actually, I have as a kid, but anyway. Back to this. The heart is deceitful of all things. So look at number four, the good ground. There's only one evidence of hearing the word rightly. One evidence. And that evidence is to bring forth fruit. Fruit of the Holy Spirit who inspired the word of God. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. The greatest of these is love. Has God put love in your heart? That's whether you're ready or not. I mean, that's the experimental proof that you're ready to be landed on the other side. And when the dragnet pulled ashore, it'd be good for you. All good. Then it'll be all good. Is it there? Let's conclude by reading just two proof texts. Lauren, could you please take 1 John 2:4, and Charles, could you take 1 John 3, verse 13 and 14? And Joy, if you could look up Ephesians 2, 8, 9, we'll conclude there. Just before they read, does anybody have a question or comment or anything you want to make? So we're considering what believers should expect in this present age. While God is trawling. God is a trawler. Just like those fishermen. I watch them almost every morning and see this taking the trucking thing. It's really nice, actually. Go out and look on the bay. You know, it's better than looking on other things. And this guy would be in this white boat and he had this equipment. It looked like he was trawling, pulling his net. Down, I guess that's the James River over there. Pulling it through the water. Pulling them out. And today, this very day, the net is in the water. God's net is in the water. He said so. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. God is doing something. Just like that man out there, that's what God's doing today. And the people said, I got to move. Yep, we got to move. Oh, I got to move again. Yep, you got to move again. Well, there's less room to move, right? Right. Right. Now the mask, now the vaccine. Now we're coming to your house to inspect, see if you're really keeping clean. Now we want to see the curriculum. Less room to move. Less room. So, Oh, isn't it wise to be ready for the great separation? I'm ready. I know I'm ready. So could you read that one, please, in conclusion?
1 John 2:4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Is that verse hard to understand? Is there anything really hard about that? He that saith, I know of him, and doesn't keep his commandments is a what? Say it together, a?
Liar.
Okay. Hey, and yours, please, Charles?
1 John 3:13-14. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
That one's not too hard to understand either, is it? We know something has happened in us because we have a disposition toward other Christians now. That we agree with everything they say and do. No. No, we don't agree with everything we say and do. We say, I don't see why she can't see that. But I love her anyway. And our love does have a capacity to ebb and flow, doesn't it? Okay. And dear, if you could conclude this, please.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Why can't any of us boast?
We can do it on our own.
All by grace. The free favor of God. So he said, I have free favor for you. I'm ready to bury the past. I got a future that's all good for you, and I have a job for you now. I got a calling for you now. I'm not going to force it on you, but and I'm going to be very gracious to you. How many feel like God has been very gracious to you through your life? Say amen. Shall we bow for prayer? And would you just ask the Lord to help you be all the way ready for the great landing? And I think that means knowing for sure you're saved. And seeking to right be in the center of his will with reference to being a kingdom servant. So Lord, we've looked at this. And we thank you for what we've been able to read and understand. And we pray that each person here would land and separated by the angels with the good onto that lovely world that's coming, the new world that's coming, when everything's fixed. And we're wholly right with you. Thank you for your great grace. Thank you for your goodness to us. We ask that this word we've looked at would find permanent lodging in all our hearts, all the way to the last step of our journey. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's an important lesson. It just is. That's a big